blessing, honor, glory, and power be unto him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Yes, we praise and honor and extol the King of heaven, all whose ways are righteous and whose judgments are pure and sure. Greetings to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Brother Steve, for that testimony. True that God is good. Yeah, God is good. You know, last evening as I was leafing through my Bible, and I came across something that I didn't even remember that was in my Bible. I have a fairly large Bible and a cover, and I came across something that took my mind back many years ago. And it involved Paris, Tennessee. Came across this photograph in my Bible. Back in 1974, my family and we were traveling, coming to Paris, Tennessee to visit Clarence and Rhoda. Some of you remember them. And as we were crossing between Waverly and Camden on US 70, crossing the Tennessee River Bridge, we had an awful crash, and this little girl went to be with Jesus. And so as I thought about that, it brought back a lot of memories. But even, yes, in all of that, through all those years, you know, God has been so good. She was buried on her first birthday. And just came across that, and I thought, well, you know, I almost forgot that picture was in my Bible somewhere, but I came across it last night. I said, thank you, Lord. Yeah, it just brings back a lot of memories. So this morning, it's good to be here. Good to be here. Yeah, I told my wife on the way up here, I'd like to go across that bridge sometime again. I know it's been redone, and now they tell me it's a nice wide bridge. When we went across it that day, it was a very, very narrow bridge. But so much for that. It's good to be here. May the Lord have his way here this morning. I want to speak just briefly, and I want to start out reading in Psalm 99. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to pick out a few verses, and then I'm going to Isaiah 6. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great, and King James says, terrible name, for it is holy. It means awesome name. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two he covered his feet, with two he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the sound of him that spoke. And the whole house was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he placed it on my mouth. And he said, behold, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Then I heard also the Lord saying, who will go for me, and whom shall I send? Then Isaiah answered and said, here am I, send me. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for the awesomeness of your word. Lord, even in our singing this morning, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Truly this morning, the whole earth is full of your glory. Even in the midst of all the sin and unrighteousness that we're surrounded with, God, we see your glory, your majesty in the creation all around us, God. And this morning we give you praise and we give you honor. And I ask, Lord, that you would guide us, guide our thoughts. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, guide us. Amen. Here it says that God is holy. I don't think any of us have a problem recognizing and acknowledging that. God is holy. The thing that's sobering to me is that Scripture requires, as Christians, as believers, requires you and I to be holy. So how does that work? If I would ask you this morning, are you holy? I wonder how many hands would go up. Yet the Bible requires of us to be holy. And you might say, well, what does this have to do with the baptismal service? I hope we can tie this together. Because the Word of God does require from us holiness. And I believe that all of us, you know, that question, are you holy, may make us just a little bit uncomfortable. Why? Because we don't want to be boastful. But yet at the same time, Scripture is requiring of us to walk in holiness. In Leviticus, a number of times God told the people of Israel, living under the law, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then Peter, in first chapter of Peter, he says, as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all walk. In all your walk of life, be holy. That's quite an order. And then Peter, you know, he says, for it is written, referring back to Leviticus, be ye holy, for I am holy. So now I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 7, where see what Paul says about holiness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, how do we perfect holiness in our lives? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And he says, having therefore these promises, what promises is he talking about? It's obvious that he's referring back to something else. And so let's look back. We'll just start back in verse 14 of chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And all the wonderful promises here. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's a very sobering scripture, perfecting holiness. As we think about that, talking about, you know, being holy, how's that possible? How's that possible? We have an order to walk in holiness. There's only one way, and that is to walk with the Holy One, to be born again of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that we can be holy. And as we come to that point of the new birth, we believe, as it says in John 3, we believe that Jesus came in the flesh, was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross, and he suffered and shed his blood and died so that we might be saved. And then he rose again, ascended into heaven, from whence he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. And that's why we're here, because he promised when he left that I'm coming again. And we're still looking forward to that, and that's why we're still here. Because once he returns, you know, these gatherings will be over with. You know, because then we'll be together in the great assembly of the redeemed with our Lord himself. Hallelujah. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As we think about the, living holy, we live in an unholy environment. In a natural environment, we get dirty. You don't have to be a farmer or a mechanic to get dirty. You know, we need to bathe. And so it is, how do we remain clean, holy? It's the Word of God, the Word of God. And I would like to challenge you this morning, dear sisters, to saturate yourself with the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Let it be a part of yourself, because I know I need a washing of the water by the Word. I need it, you know, daily. Just immerse yourself in the Word. So how are we to be holy? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 27, it says, it's Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's Christ in us. Christ in you is what allows you to walk in holiness and in victory. And in Titus, he tells us, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to your mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he has shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, that glorious hope that we have in Jesus, the hope of eternal life. And it's a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. It's not just something we hope for might happen, but it's a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. There it is again, hope and inheritance. Inheritance undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Remember that. You're kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. Know what you believe. Know what you believe. Have it settled in your heart that Jesus Christ came into the world and died for sinners, of whom that included me. And just know it's so important in the day and time that we live in that you know what you believe. You know, there's so much out there. And the thing of it is, now, you know, you're told there is no objective truth. It's just everything is subjective. Whatever feels good for you is for you. That's a lie. You know, that's a lie from the devil. The devil is a good liar, because he's the father of lies. So remember that. Know what you believe. Regardless of what comes, know what you believe. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. Speaking about holiness, and I was thinking, as I was thinking about this, a song came into my mind. It was just, I don't really know it, but so what I do, I Google. And this song came up, A Holy Highway. And then once I pulled it up, I saw, I've heard this. We've sung it at our church at home. There is a highway, a holy highway. And that's where we want to walk on. We want to walk on that holy highway. So how do we walk there? And as I was thinking about that, you think about a highway, any highways. Some here in this part of Tennessee, you have some narrow highways. My wife used to live here, and so she goes whipping around these little narrow curves, and I'm, you know, I'm hanging on. So, but as we think about these highways, you know, think about it. Every mile of highway has 2 miles of ditch. And in order to get where we're going, we need to stay on the highway, right? So, Brother Steve, you drive a lot of miles, but even with that big monstrous rig that you drive, what would happen if you start focusing on the ditch? You'd wind up in the ditch, right? When you're going down the highway and you start looking at the ditch on either side, you just focus on that, that's where you're going. You'll wind up there, I promise you, don't try it. But if you focus on the ditch, you'll wind up in the ditch. And you see, on the holy highway, we want to stay in the center. And our focus is Jesus. Our focus is Jesus. And as long as we're focused on him, we don't have to worry about the ditches. Okay? But we have an enemy, and he doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair. And so, it's so many illustrations you can make from this. But today, I want to look at it from the standpoint of our salvation. We know that our salvation is in Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's not by what, you know, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and see, now, what can I do today to be holy? No, just keep your eyes fastened on Jesus and not attention on yourself, because as soon as I start thinking about how holy I am and I start feeling good about myself, you know, I'm doing pretty good, you know. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day, and I certainly go to church every Sunday, and you start feeling good about yourself, and first thing you know, you're looking at the performance ditch. And if you're not careful, you're going to be over there. It's all about performance. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing what the church says, and all that's well and good, but that's not where your focus has to be. And the first thing you know, you're down there in the works ditch, and you become ineffective in the work of God, in the kingdom. And that's what the enemy is. It's not saying that you're lost. You've lost your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But the devil wants to make you ineffective in his kingdom. And if he gets you in the ditch, you're not going to be effective. You know, Brother Steve, if you get in the ditch, you're not going anywhere. So we don't want to get distracted and be in the ditch. On the other hand, and I can identify better with the other ditch because I was there. And, you know, I struggled with that for years. The assurance of salvation. You know, I'm not, how can I be saved? I just don't feel like I'm good enough. You know, I knew it in my mind. I believed it. But, you know, I missed the mark so much. And see, there again, the enemy doesn't play fair. You thought you were a Christian. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. You know? That's a lie. And I'm not saying, you know, when we find ourselves in the ditch, thank God that we repent. We look back to Jesus. We repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's talking to believers. Those when we miss the mark, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And so when we find ourselves, you know, hopefully, if we find ourselves veering for the ditch, we put our eyes back on Jesus and we correct. But then what I have seen in my short lifetime, it is short compared to eternity here, is that people find themselves going toward the ditch and they overcorrect. How many accidents are caused by people running off the road and overcorrecting and they wind up in another ditch? There again, the enemy don't care which ditch you're in. He just wants to make you ineffective in the work of God. And the only way that we can really stay effective in the work of the Lord is to keep our eyes fastened on Jesus, remembering and believing that our salvation is in him and none other. And as we yield ourselves to him, and I would just like to encourage you. Another thing, that song goes on to say, you know, you know, talking about the heavenly highway, but then there's one little phrase in there. We bring the praise back to you. So regardless of how well I think I might be doing, let's not focus on our performance. It's all about bringing whatever I'm doing, God, it's for your glory. Bring the praise back to Jesus. Bring the praise back to him. You know, if we just remember what you believe. And we have Jessica, Virginia, Leandra, and Brenda, right? So I would just like to encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus and, you know, and the finished work of the cross. Know what you believe. Know what you believe. You know, we're living in a day, and for all of you young people, my heart goes out to you. When I see all the children here, when I think of, and we don't have, I'm not, don't want to be negative, but we all know that we're living in perilous times. We know that we're living in perilous times. And for, you know, we don't know. I don't want to say this to be scary, to scare you, but there is very likely that some of us here will give our lives for Christ if things, something don't turn around. And so what? And I would just like to encourage you, avoid the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare, according to the Bible. The fear of God brings a snare. But, you know, we don't have to be snared by that. And by the way, Jesus, the very words of Jesus, he said, fear not them that kill the body. So as Christians, we should not be afraid of those that might kill us because we love Jesus, words of Jesus. Be not afraid of them that kill the body and afterwards have nothing more that they can do. All they can do is just kill us and then we go to be with Jesus. Fear not them that kill the body and afterwards have nothing more to do, but I will tell you who to fear. Fear him that after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. That means a holy, reverential fear towards Almighty God. And those are the words of Jesus. So if you want to avoid a lot of frustrations and just don't fear what people, as long as you're following Jesus, it doesn't matter what people think. Now, am I telling at your age, seek counsel? I don't want in any way to want you to think that I'm advocating just follow Jesus and don't pay attention to it. No. Because God has order, God has placed leadership into your lives. Pay attention, because the Bible is just, you know, we could go to many, many scriptures that would point out that if you want to be blessed, you know, seek, and the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And whenever you find yourself veering off towards, and you know, things just aren't feeling right, you know, come back to Jesus, and then never be afraid to seek counsel. Never be afraid to seek counsel. You're young. God bless you with his favor, with his loving favor, and that you might walk in victory. And when the trumpet call comes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's my prayer for you. God bless you.